that does £29 a month get you these days? With Virgin Media, it gets you... Get more bang for your bundle. Up to 50 meg super fast broadband with unlimited downloads. And our clever TiVo box for free view and catch up TV. Just £29 a month for 12 months, including line rental. Activation fee £14.99. Search Virgin Media Bundles. Cable streets only. New customers on player TV bundle. Installation fee may apply. Standard pricing after 12 months. Subject to credit check and further terms and conditions.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros.
And welcome back to another edition of Leave the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Felipe Leon. Felipe, good to be back.
Felipe Leon.
Melon. Anyways, let's get talking to boxing, okay? Nobody cares about your last name anyways.
Right, I was actually everyone. Saying about my first you butchered my first name, but go ahead.
Whatever. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about here on boxing. We're not worried about your first name or your last name, Felipe. People are worried about what we're going to talk about here on the show. So first off, here in the news, let's do the rundown really quick. I think the big news right now, which was announced by TMZ early in the morning, that last night Oscar De La Hoya was having a little bit too much fun, got pulled over in Pasadena, California, and was taken in for a DUI charge. It said that he was released, though, earlier today. So things don't look too up and bright for Oscar De La Hoya, which is, it's a sucky thing. I mean, the rumors are this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Felipe, but the rumors are that the marriage is not that great right now with his wife that's from out of Puerto Rico. It sounds like they might be going into possibly a divorce, or they're trying to work things out. But at the moment, he's in L.A., and he decided to stop at a couple restaurants, right, and have a few drinks, gets in his car. Which is a Land Rover, something like that, right? And gets pulled over. But at the same time, he's got other things that have just kind of, that have came up, which is, for instance, the deposition is what's going on in court between Al Heyman and himself, his company, Golden Boy, the Black Hitler emails, which we'll get into that. But I mean, he does have some good news. He's got the ESPN deal that just rose right now, and they locked in and they're going to deliver in March. But obviously the DUI, and he's had some substance abuse for quite some time. He struggled with it. He struggled with cocaine. He struggled with other things. But now here the DUI. What could you add? What could we say about this? I mean, the only thing I could think of is, the guy struggling with this, and all we could do is hope for the better for the kid.
I agree. Unfortunately, we all have our demons, obviously. Maybe some of us not as serious as De La Hoya's, and maybe some more serious than De La Hoya's. But we all have our demons, and the unfortunate part here for Oscar is that he has to work through his demons in the public eye. Ever since,
right.
Those pictures that came out that were pretty compromising, and then everything that's going on.
Compromising.
That's the polite way of saying it.
And, the polite way of saying it, right.
Exactly. And then, I've heard the rumors as well of the problems with his wife, Millie. And we don't know if those problems are leading him to the drinking or the drinking is causing those problems. We just don't know. We're not there. I mean, it's none of our business, to be quite honest with you. But I do feel a little bit bad for him. I mean, I wish that he could get his act together and do what he needs to do to right the wrongs or set this ship on the right direction, because, he's been doing some great things with Golden Boy Promotions. I mean, like you mentioned, and we're going to talk about it, that deal they got with ESPN, which is starting to turn things around for boxing in the United States and in Latin America, because those fights are going to be broadcast there too. So hopefully, he gets the help that he needs and fixes this issue that he has right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, we're outside of the box of what's going on with Oscar De La Hoya, but it has been in the public eye, his abuse and drugs and alcohol. It's easy to say, you know, this guy's got to get his act together. It's easy to say this and that, but in all truth, we're not in his household. We're not in his world, you know. And you know, when you have a alcohol and drug problem, I think it's fair to say, even after recovery, it's a relapse is very easy for somebody with that type of abuse, you know, for somebody to fall back into that dark place of theirs in the corner of their mind and just go, screw it. I'm going to go and, you know, drink myself and whatnot. And then you got to remember too, Oscar De La Hoya has been a big public figure for boxing and for the Mexican American community for a long time. So, you know, him going out and having drinks and taking pictures with fans is also another form of addiction of him trying to get away from what's really happening in his world, you know? So it got the better of him. And all now we got to do is sit back and hope the best for the guy is to recover, get back on his feet and move forward from there, because there are good things that his company's trying to present and develop. Even though there's a roadblock there right now that a lot of fight fans are really, really upset about, which is the emails that were received by an employee, which is Ramiro Gonzalez, that he was receiving from a freelance writer, and they weren't very good. They weren't very good messages. The conversation was talking about Ramiro talking about how they need English sites, you know, and the other guy started just kind of going on a certain rant about, you know, Al Heyman being the N-word and then calling him the Black Hitler because he's stopping Hispanic fighters or whatever the guy was thinking, whatever the guy was throwing out there and dishing out and stuff. So that there honestly puts a major damper on Golden Boy, because now, if I'm not mistaken here, but I think they kind of feel like they got to defend the fact that they're not a racist company.
I don't agree. I don't agree with that take that you're just describing. You know, this is a complicated case. I'm not a lawyer. Obviously, we would have to get somebody on here that could explain to us the finer details of this case. But as far as I understand it, Golden Boy Promotions is suing Al Heyman Enterprises or whatever his company is called, because they're trying to claim that because of the way that they started doing their business and the way that they took over all these time buys and all these networks, that they're trying to create a monopoly, which in turn hurts Golden Boy Promotions from doing business. As far as I understand it, that's what's going on. Now, you know, the PBC side, the Al Heyman side, wants to be able to use these emails to prove something else is going on. And I don't think that's
Well, there's an agenda. They want to prove that it's an agenda of prejudice there, Felipe. And some fight – listen, and some fight fans are falling into that mix. And that's why I'm saying that it's unfortunate, because now Golden Boy, who did not make those remarks – I think that has to be pretty clear. They did not make the remarks that some fans are misinterpreting into this racism rant. Because of the fact of what has happened with Angel Garcia, I think people are missing the, you know, they're skipping the whole picture, what's going on. And that's why I'm saying Golden Boy right now, to me, I hate to say it, but I think they're in that stance right now that they might have to prove that there's no racial motivation. Though, because of that email, people can twist it and make it seem like there was a racist motive behind them trying to, you know, whatever they're suing for, whatever their stance is for now. I mean, right?
I think the case that could be made, and not exactly if it's a viable one, but the fact that this freelance writer was writing these disgusting comments and calling him the Black Hitler and other words, and Ramiro the Gonzalez, he's a publicist or Spanish language publicist for Golden Boy or something. I think he got promoted. He's something else now. It's something to do with the PR of the company.
Right. That's a director, you know, PR director, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The fact that he didn't really make a comment and say, hey, you know, we shouldn't talk that way, or, you know, I don't appreciate this language that you're using. Let's stay on the topic and talk about, you know, what we're trying to do here with these articles or whatever the case, whatever the gist of the actual email was, because I don't think the email, the main subject of the email was calling Al Heyman the Black Hitler. The fact that Ramiro didn't do that, I think that's something that, you know, the PBC side is trying to make it bigger than it really is. You know, although you know, really think about
right.
it.
Right. He's putting
signs. I don't
know
how you feel about it. If somebody's writing to you, if somebody's writing to you that in that manner, it could tell one or two things. You know, your relationship with this person is cozy enough that they feel comfortable saying this, you know, writing this
right.
this hate-filled messages to you, and that you're not going to get offended by it, or that they feel that you feel the same way. You know, obviously Ramiro didn't reflect that in the messages and the way that Ramiro was answering and writing back, but we don't know what the whole relationship there is.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that the silence is actually what hurts Golden Boy. That the from the race and rhetoric that this guy was spewing out, that Ramiro allowed no response to actually have a voice to it, because now people are putting in words that were not even there for Golden Boy. And I think that mm-hmm. right there is hurting them, may hurt them. We're definitely going to find out, because the more and more we're looking at this case, we're going to have Lenny the Fight Smith, but Lenny's going to be looking over the documents, and we'll have a little bit more input for next week's show. But there's a lot of stuff that right now that Lenny was telling me that is not being shared or translated. Even with Bloody Elbow, that who's been covering it fantastic, you know, what is his gift? He's been covering the coverage of what's going on, documenting what's been said in the courtroom, but he's actually just giving the the transcript of what's been thrown out there. But the language of it is what's more telling, and that's what Lenny, who is a lawyer, he's going to be able to explain that in a bigger depth for us to have a more of an understanding. What is the downroad? What is the downplay of everything that's happening between Al Haymon and Golden Boy? But again, like I said, Al Haymon and his lawyers are not stupid. They're trying to make a bigger subject of through these emails, because there was a certain silence from the Golden Boy Department, which was, you know, headed by Ramiro Gonzalez. And Ramiro, like you said, that's a good question. Are they that comfortable? And does he feel that way? Well, by not responding, now the assumptions are going to definitely come out here. Hey, if you guys, Fight Fans, you want to call in, 347-215-7598. I don't know if people saw this here on Twitter, but we're now on Patreon, which is a site that helps us out, keep the lights on and keeps the bills going for Leave It in the Ring. You know, if you pledge $1, $3, or $5, you're getting at least, you know, almost close to, 10 shows, Felipe? What is it, a month here on Leave It in the Ring? Also, if you help us out here, with $1 or $2 or $3 or $5, you're going to help us try to develop other new shows that we're trying to start here on Leaving the Ring, as well as us going out there with a camera and try to cover some events and get the content that we used to do back in the past here on Leaving the Ring. So, you know, it's definitely paying we're asking for people to help pay for the on-air talent. I give a whole description on the Patreon. You can find that. Go to my Twitter. Click on it. Hey, try to donate something, man. That's all we're asking for here on Leaving the Ring. You know, we're not trying to ask you guys to pay our house bill and make us go on vacation. Nothing like that. It's nothing big like that at all and stuff. It's just to basically help us keep running here, because you know, it takes a lot of work. It does take a lot of time for us to develop these shows and to keep it going. And we do have other shows that we want to put on Leaving the Ring. You know, I do want to revamp around the ring, which would be a completely different show of the way I originally did it. I have some better ideas out there that I want to do, but I know that it's going to take time and some money and some persuading from other people that I like to reach out here in the boxing world to be involved with, so that we can bring you a good production and good content to the network here. But hey, you want to call in? 347-215-7598. Before we move on to our, I think we covered the whole
thing that I do want to say before we move on from this whole issue with Golden Boy and Al Haymon and these emails is that I have had interactions with Ramiro Gonzalez. I'm sure you have too. And
yes.
No indication that he shares the views that this freelance writer was sending him in emails, you know. That I do want to put out there. I never encountered with him. He's a straight shooter, you know. And it's unfortunate that he's kind of in the middle of it, and now he's probably going to end up in court having to answer a lot of questions. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, he left himself open. He left that door open. Now he allowed people to walk through it, and so he has to kind of deal with it and stuff. I've had my experience with him. He's a really nice guy. You know, but What could you really say? Like you said, you know, obviously the person he was conversing with had, they were comfortable, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like I said, it's an assumption, you know. It goes off the same thing with Angel Garcia. I got a lot of emails from last week's show when we talked about Angel Garcia. And, you know, I had some personal emails were directed solely at me going like, you were not offended by the N-word. You weren't this and that. I mean, here, just to get into a little bit of that. I mean, here's this. Angel Garcia, with the whole racism now, if you watch what the whole country is going on, you got people divided. You got some folks that are saying, yeah, get over it. Who cares? You know, Donald Trump ain't racist and blah, blah, blah. And then Angel Garcia, well, he's been like that since this time. You know, why are we going to worry about it now and this and that, et cetera, and stuff, you know. But, you know, I guess it goes back to, were you personally offended, Felipe? Were you personally offended?
No, I wasn't personally offended because I give Angel Garcia no power at all. I mean, he can say whatever he wants. I mean, it doesn't matter. Everybody knows he's a clown. Everybody knows that this is the persona that he is putting out there. You know, it's not the first time he said things like that. Now, is it okay? No, it's not okay. Is it okay for him to be saying it in such a big stage? No, it's not okay. But does it personally offend me? Does it change the way that I see myself or the world? It's not anything new. It's not something we've never heard before, you, me, other people, you know. I think when it depends how much power the person has that is saying it. You know, when it's one thing for Angel Garcia to say it. It's another thing when the president of the United States alludes to certain subjects that are similar to what Angel Garcia was saying, you know. Am I offended when the president says it or alludes to something that he said about where I come from personally? Yeah, that's more offensive than Angel Garcia. But for Angel Garcia to say that stupid stuff, I don't really care. It doesn't make – I don't think it has its place in boxing, not to the level that he was putting it out there. But I'm not offended by it.
You know, I think on a personal level, which was asked from us from our Leaving the Ring Gmail is you know, were you guys offended by it? Well, I mean, here's the thing. The word that he was using, when he started off his rant towards Keith Thurman, he started ending everything with the N-word, right? He started saying, and then with the, you know, N and then with the A. On a street level, I think the word pussy that he was calling them was a personal attack towards Keith Thurman. On a street level, if it was on the streets and it's almost being called punk, that on a personal level between Keith Thurman, I think that's where, to me, that there was something very personal happening between those two. And I don't think Keith Thurman was aware where the personal, you know, jabs were coming from Angel Garcia. It took him a minute. If you watch his face, it kind of took him a minute. Like, wow, why is this guy going street with me in this certain way? Because, you know, if you come from the inner city, you know, there's certain words you just don't try to say so loosely to another person. You know, for Puerto Ricans, the N-word is, you know, using the N-word at the end, it's kind of common. It's not like something that it's so new. I mean, even Mexican kids, I see a lot of little white kids using that word now, but they're using it more as an endearment. Is it okay? No, but they use it more as an endearment. But the way Garcia was using it, Felipe, there was no endearment behind that. There was an actual offense that he was trying to get across to Keith Thurman to spark up. Then leading on to his rant, of course, it was offensive. It was offensive for a lot of people because it's still fresh. We're still just got a president right now that's doing some very, very terrible things, stupid things that you can argue about or not argue about. Anyways, so that's my personal thought about it here. Hey, let's pass in a fight fan really quick here on Leaving the Ring. Then we'll move on about the deal with Golden Boy Promotions and ESPN, which is a very good deal. Let's go with area code 805. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hello, gentlemen. Armando from Oxnard. Thank you for taking my call.
Armando, ¿qué pasó, brother? How you doing, man?
Todo bien. What do you guys think about Gamboa signing with Golden Boy?
Do you know, dude, I'm going to let you go first, Felipe, because I'm still kind of a little bit puzzled by it. I'm not really sure what I think about it. I'm not sure what was the move for on that one. What do you think, Felipe? You might have a little bit more insight on it, but
I don't get it. I like it. You know, I mean, Jurokis Gamboa. Well, I'm going to tell you. Jurokis Gamboa has always been an entertaining fighter. I mean, even when he first came on the boxing radar and he fought on HBO and he get dropped, get back up and knock his opponent out. Obviously, he had some issues. He was spoiled from the get-go. He ended up in Europe and got signed to a German promoter who doesn't exist anymore. I think it was called Universum, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they showered him with gifts and money, and it kind of, you know, spoiled him a bit. And now, you know, it made him into, I don't know, maybe feeling that he deserved more than what he was bringing to the table. And you know, he's had issues with Top Rank. He's had issues with other promoters. The last time we heard of him, he signed with a promoter out in Spain, of all places. But now that Golden Boy has picked him up and actually already has announced that he will be fighting on the co-main event of Lemieux against Stevens in March, you know,
right.
hopefully they give him the activity that he needs to kind of get back on track and make some good fights. I think at 135 pounds, he's a player as soon as he gets a couple of fights there. And he's a player in the division, and I think he can do for some exciting fights. I mean, I never really seen
is
him
he,
in a
is
bad,
he, Here's
bad
my
fight.
Question. Here's my question for this, though. Did he get signed to be groomed as an opponent, or are they really going to put some investment behind this kid and see whether or not he didn't outrun his prime? Because, I mean, I'm looking at it, and here you have a guy that's been inactive. Here you've had a guy that's there's been major questions of whether or not he's used PEDs. Here's a guy that's been kind of difficult here and there. He just got into a fight at a gym. So there's some trouble coming behind Jurokis Gamboa.
But that behind that fight, it was never confirmed that if it was current or it was a little bit old. So that you could take with a grain of salt.
Right. I mean, but I'm still a bit confused. Like I said, I don't know. I think maybe after the first fight, and maybe there's a little bit more talks about Gamboa, what the direction they're going to do. Obviously, Eric Gomez will talk about it either during the press conference or after, if he does shine, which they're hoping. I'm thinking they're going to hope he's going to shine right in March. So
yeah,
I guess we'll leave it there.
But think about it. I mean, even if they are grooming him to be like a high-level opponent, what does it matter? I mean, if you're going to put him in with some good fighters like Jorge Linares or maybe to a certain extent with Vasyl Lomachenko, you don't want to see those fights?
Oh, I want to see them. I do want to see them. But I'm just saying, I don't know what direction they were going. Like, are they really looking to make him potential the star that he was always talked about, or are they just picking him up because he's a good name and they can kind of, you know, make some good money off of him as an opponent? That's why I don't know where they're going with yet. That's what I'm curious about.
What are your
anything
thoughts,
Armando?
Yeah, I'll be going to Las Vegas this weekend. Did I make the right choice?
I think so.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, the fights at Fantasy Springs Casino, I mean, they're going to be good fights. The main event, in my opinion, is a little bit closer than a lot of people think. More, not so much the semi-main with Takashi Miura, but as far as what's going down in Vegas, I think those are going to be some really good fights. So I think definitely you made the right choice.
Yes, it sounds good to me. I got one last question. What the fuck is going on with Gary Russell Jr.? When is he going to fight?
Gary, you know what? Gary Russell Jr. is supposed to be fighting a kid out of the Bay Area, which is let me look him up really quick, because actually the guys that are handling him is the Guerrero family. Robert Guerrero's dad and older brother is actually well, let me find it real quick, because he actually texted me about it.
Interesting.
Escalando. Escalando. I don't know much about him, but I guess this kid got signed on to fight Gary Russell. He doesn't give me a date, though. Let me look really quick. It doesn't give me a date. I'll hit him up right now and see if he gives me an answer, and I'll tell a little bit more about it here on the air if he responds tonight here. But that's who Gary Russell is supposed to be fighting pretty soon, I think in a couple of months here. That's what I've been told by that team. So we'll see if it goes into fruition, and let's see what happens, you know?
All right, cool. Well, shit. About time to get something.
Right? You know? Yeah, we'll see. I don't know anything about the kid that the Guerrero family's training, though. So that's going to be interesting. Obviously,
it's not what we want to see.
But you know what I've been talking here a little bit with the Guerrero family, and you know, they have fighters, and they've been trying to get their fighters out. And I know this kid here that he was talking about, he's a little bit pumped up, but at the same time, it is his fighter and his stable. So, you know, they're always going to pump up their own guys here, you know? So I don't know much about the kid.
Good for Ruben to fucking start something. Sounds
right?
Good.
Right? Exactly. Exactly, man. Absolutely. All right, brother. We got anything else for you, man?
Nah. You guys have a good night.
Okay, brother. You have a good time in Las Vegas,
thank you,
man. Be safe.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Call back next Wednesday.
All right. So anyways, yeah, man. So anyways, Felipe, yeah, he did hit me up and he was like, you know, this is what I got. This is who we're looking at, the Gary Russell fight. And I was like, all right, good for you guys. You know, I'll look into his fighter and stuff, which I haven't had time to do. I should do that. I just texted him right now to ask if they did get signed and if it's going to be moved forward or not. So hopefully he'll respond back to me and give me a little bit more info about that to see where Gary Russell is standing at, you know? So, okay, so let's get into the ESPN deal here with Golden Boy. That's a big major move. Right away, we saw in the Twitter world that, you know, fight fans were bagging on PBC and at the same time, you know, giving the glory to Golden Boy because they did this deal here. And when they rolled out the plan, it obviously looked really, really good. And if you remember a while back when they were doing the Estrella TV series, they were putting all the Golden Boy cards on there. If you remember a while back, I had said, okay, where are they going with this? Because, you know, casual fans are not going to be finding this online. It's on Ring TV. It's kind of hard to just narrow down and press and take a watch. But they have some really good fights. And so seeing the ESPN deal, I automatically talked to you about it. And I said, but is that what they were gearing up for? Because with the deposition, they showed they're not making any money from other fighters. They're basically losing money from fighters. Their main sole money cow was Canelo Alvarez. So their sacrifice was for these – what? How long did they do the Estrella for? What, 2 years?
Almost as long as the PBC has been going on, right?
Yeah. So 2 years here, they sacrificed. They lost a shitload of money. And then they presented a package to ESPN, was able to sell it. Brilliant move. And that was the question that I had for a long time. What exactly were they doing with this? With this whole Estrella thing? Well, you know, they were developing these fighters, but what was it for? Was it really for the fans? And it turned out to be, if I'm wrong here, and I think you'll tell me if I'm wrong or not, it just turned out to be it was a sell to the network.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I've seen and what the reports that we heard, I mean, this is not a time buy like PBC has been doing. But what I read from Eric Gomez, I think it was on BoxingScene.com, and I think it was an interview with our colleague Steve Kim, is that, you know, there is a budget. ESPN is providing Golden Boy with the budget. And I believe that Eric Gomez had mentioned that it was a little bit more than the budget that was offered in the past before ESPN kind of shut the doors on boxing and gave up the series or at least the boxing programming to the PBC. If I remember correctly, I think I had read or researched that I think the budget was around $30,000 $35,000 per fight event. So right there with the $35,000, I mean, you get a main event, 12-rounder, you pay the guys anywhere from $12,000 to $13,000 each or around that. We're looking at $26,000. You get a swing bout there, a semi-main event, a couple of sponsors, and, you know, you might be breaking even. All depends if you got a site fee or you got control of the tickets. But at least there is some money there to play around and make some fights, not like what I believe is going on with Estrella TV, which I don't know for a fact. I'm just guessing here, but I'm thinking that Estrella TV is not paying they're not paying a broadcasting fee. They're not giving them any budget. They're probably just saying, hey, we'll let you broadcast the fights here. Maybe Estrella TV is paying for the production of it. And then obviously they're putting it on Ring TV. So maybe they're not going to be losing any money and maybe breaking even with this ESPN fight card. but at the same time developing their fighters and obviously putting them on a way bigger audience and a way bigger platform that they've been doing on Estrella TV and on RingTV.com.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, because in Australia, it's a southern-based network, right? If you call that, and I mean, it is played because I did see it up in Florida. They do play it out there, but like I said, it's not a sport network where it's solely targeted at sport fans. You know, your casual fans are not going to just gradually come across it. They would have to really look for it, which even myself, a hardcore boxing fan, I had to literally look for it online in order to watch these fights, where there's a lot of excellent fights here and stuff. But I think that with Golden Boy, I think it was a brave move for them, right, to do something like that, because their fighters that they were developing on there, they obviously didn't get the viewership or the appreciation of actually being built to what potentially they could be at the moment if they were on national television the way PBC was able to have those slots here, right? But they were able to package something, a good TV package, and present it, a product to a network, ESPN, and say, hey, look what we've done, look what we got, and look what we've been able to put together. We've been able to put together good fights, which is a good content of entertainment. Do you want it? And I think that was the brilliant move, but at a lot of cost, right? At a lot of cost of them losing money, not making any money.
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean, how much of a gamble was it? Let me ask you that. How much of a gamble do you think that was, man, to be that brave to even try to do something like that? Because, you know, obviously Al Haymon had the upper hand in terms of money, in terms of able to go in and sit down and talk to the executive and put nothing together, have nothing to present to them, and basically just told them an idea. But there was nothing there. Where Golden Boy had to create the idea so you could visually see it and touch it. I mean, what we've seen on the deposition right now, that Golden Boy without Canelo Alvarez, they would not be around. That to me was a crazy gamble that they end up not crapping out.
But that's the thing. I mean, they're a bona fide promoter. I mean, they're doing what you need to do to develop some talent. They know, as they're smart. Oscar's smart. Eric is smart. Everybody there is smart. They know that you can't have one guy that's only going to be the guy that's making the money, you know, in Canelo Alvarez, and develop a world-class promotional company. You know, you just can't do that. It just doesn't work that way, you know. So they know that they have to develop this talent. So I wouldn't call it a gamble, the money that they're losing by having these Velasco Theater and these Estrella TV fight cards, but it's an investment. It's investment in, you know, Chimpa Gonzalez. It's an investment on Stravinsky, which, you know, we saw him graduate to Golden Boy. It's an investment in all these up-and-coming fighters that they had to make, and now they're going to continue to be doing on ESPN so that they can develop these fighters and hopefully some of them become maybe not as big as Saul Canelo Alvarez, but as big to, you know, get on HBO and make the money that they deserve, or even pay-per-view, you know, the money to get that money back that they invested for all this time. So I don't see it so much as a gamble, but it's an investment. But it's an investment that a real promoter is going to make. I mean, Golden Boy has done it. They're doing it right now. In the past, Top Rank has done it as well. They've lost money.
Right.
They've had lost leaders to develop their fighters. And, you know, and the other guys that are not doing it, I mean, even to a certain extent, Lou DiBella has done it and was doing it over there in New York on the B.B. King Broadway boxing series that he had going on over there. You know, it's what you have to do to develop fighters, to get them to the level, to get on big TV networks, and that's where the money's at. We all know that. If you know anything about the business of boxing, that's the way it runs, and that's what Golden Boy is doing.
You know, I mean, you go back, and because the fact that Golden Boy is still a very young company, and the criticism has always been out because they've behaved like a young company, the maturity has really developed. We've watched them, right, throughout these years starting to develop and make better choices and better moves, you know. Not we're not saying the move of the DUI. That's something completely different. But in the entity of the company, they've made some pretty good mature moves here. Well, this ESPN deal though, why is this good for boxing, Felipe? Why is this something that we should be embracing and being very excited about. When PBC had that time and that slot and they had the advantage of doing some great things on ESPN, but instead they only had a few shows, and then nothing ever really developed. Everything was geared away from ESPN, and it's, you know, which I think is because they had a little bit too much ground to cover. You know, when you have too much ground to cover, you're going to neglect something, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's great for boxing, and it really shows that 2017 is starting to, you know, move away from 2016. I mean, you know, we were all afraid that this whole trend in 2016, which wasn't a great year for boxing, that maybe it was going to continue in 2017. Obviously, it hasn't. We've seen a good fight in Badu Jack against James DeGale. We got a great weekend coming up. We got a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe not so great things. But with Golden Boy going on ESPN, and it's a bona fide boxing series, not a time buy, where there's going to be some quality control there, where ESPN is going to have the right to say, we like this fight, we don't like this fight, you know, which is, you know, they're buying a product, and Golden Boy is offering them a product versus what's going on with the PBC, that NBC and CBS, they don't care what the PBC puts on there. They're going to get paid regardless. So what do they care what fight they put on? Whereas in ESPN, since they're paying for it to a certain extent, they want to see good stuff and stuff that's going to bring in the ratings. So obviously, it's good for boxing because we're going to see more competitive fights, and that's all we want as boxing fans and media and everybody. We want to see good competitive fights. They all can't be and don't have to be at the biggest level of boxing, like what Gennady Golovkin is against Daniel Jacobs, or Saul Canelo Alvarez against, you know, Triple G, or these are showcase fights.
Right.
But we can have competitive fights that are at that level for that price range. I mean, let's not forget that the first fight between Jesus Soto Caraz and Yoshihiro Kamigai was on Estrella TV and RingTV.com. So if we're going to get that competitive level of fight on ESPN, then bring it on, because I'll be watching every time it goes on.
Well, I mean, what I like about it, it forced the hands of Golden Boy, ESPN, because they get to semi-select whether or not a fight comes on, if they like it, if they think it's a good matchup and stuff, that it's going to force Golden Boy, which I think they were already doing with Estrella TV, was to try to get competitive fights, because it almost taught Golden Boy to match up, give better matches, because they knew that the viewership wasn't going to be as high on Estrella TV. You know, I could be wrong about that, but to me, it was a lesson to be learned to be better. So then when it got to ESPN, I mean, the ultimate goal is ESPN, and then develop these fighters, make whoever fighter that they're trying to showcase and get you in the eyes and the viewerships of fans out there across the world, right? Is to get them into that stardom so that they can go to HBO and they build a strong following. That is the goal for the promoter here. But at the same time, I think the practice of what they've done at Estrella is absolutely going to shine on ESPN. That's why I like what happened, how it's been transitioned, how it looks like it might be headed to. And I also like the fact that ESPN was not they weren't tarnished of the business move and business quality what Al Haymon has kind of presented, because that was the major issue, remember, in my opinion, was because Al Haymon was doing a certain way of business and how he was conducting it and kind of swallowing it, that it could have turned off other networks because they weren't getting good fights. They were getting trashy fights, and they're, you know, and a lot of fight fans were being turned off by that. But instead, ESPN stepped up and said, hey, let's do this deal with Golden Boy. I like the package that they presented. I like what they've been doing. Let's move forward. I hope more promoters are able to get some time slots or work with Golden Boy, because if that's one thing on that deposition, Al Haymon did say, hey, hasn't been me that doesn't want to work with them. It's been them. And that stands out too.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't blame Golden Boy. I mean, this is a guy that basically a couple of years ago almost destroyed the company, you know, through Richard Schaefer. So, I mean, I don't blame him for Oscar and Eric Gomez not jumping in and saying, hey, you know, let's work together. I mean,
How could you? I wouldn't either.
You know?
You know
how can you trust?
Yeah.
How can you trust them? And one thing that I did hear, and just to kind of tie it all together, is that one of the clauses on the contract between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. For their fight on May 6th, obviously Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is represented by Al Haymon. One thing that I did hear is that one of the clauses was that Richard Schaefer's Ringstar Boxing cannot be the co-promoter representing Al Haymon for this promotion. So that's how far it goes, that they actually made it a point to put it in the contract for that fight.
Wait. Break that down again. Let me hear that one more time. Say it again.
Basically, in the contract that was written up for the fight between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., there's a clause there. There's an agreement. There's something that they needed to sign and agree on, that obviously Al Haymon is not a promoter. He doesn't have a promotional company per se on paper, but that's why he uses Lou DiBella. He uses TGB. He uses a multitude, King's Promotion. He uses a multitude of promoters to put on his fighters, right? Obviously, one of them being Ringstar Boxing. You know, he's going to start using Ringstar Boxing because he has a very good relationship with Richard Schaefer. Yeah, he has. So the first event. Well, on that contract between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. for May 6th, one of the agreements on there was that Ringstar Promotions or Ringstar Boxing, Richard Schaefer's company, cannot be the co-promoter of the event, representing Al Haymon, obviously.
Wow. Let me ask you. Okay. I mean, we know the answer of why that happened there, but let me get your insight about it. What's the cause and effect of that happening when them have, you know, saying that he can't be a co-promoter?
Well, I mean, it obviously,
we can't line his pocket. That's what they don't want him to do.
Well, I'm sure they just don't want to be in the same building with the guy, you know?
Right.
So they don't want to be in the same building with the guy. So it's like, man, we better make sure that he's not in the building. I mean, he might be there.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they can't stop him from getting a ringside seat if those are some of the tickets that the PBC or Al Haymon's company is getting through the agreement. I remember reading that one of the major contentions before signing the contract for Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is that he had asked for a certain amount of tickets, and they only wanted to give him the tickets that he was asking for. I'm sure some of them are going to go to the PBC. I'm sure Sam Watson and the Watson twins are going to be there, you know. And I'm sure if Richard Schaefer wants to be there, he can be there, but he cannot have any say in the promotion of the event with his company, Ringstar Boxing. So it just says that they don't want to work with him. I mean, that's basically it.
Right. Rightfully so, though. You know what I mean? I mean, people don't know the history between these two guys here. You know, Schaefer was quote-unquote supposed to be a good friend to Oscar De La Hoya and to the Golden Boy, and was doing backdoor deals and trying to roll out the founder, the face of the company, you know.
I mean,
down
I don't know
the river.
If you read, I don't know if you ever read Oscar De La Hoya's autobiography. You know, obviously there's biographies. There are biographies.
There's biographies,
maybe,
but the one by him.
But one that he wrote. You know, obviously with the ghostwriter. You know, he gives a lot of credit to Richard Schaefer for helping him turn his life around and really putting his financial life in order. You know, before Richard Schaefer, Oscar didn't own a building. You know, Oscar didn't own the real estate that he is known to own in Los Angeles. And Richard Schaefer basically helped him and led him in that direction, put him on an allowance, you know, for a lack of a better word. So these guys were guys that, you know, were calling each other on the phone and probably talking on the phone and seeing each other at least once a day, if not more. And now there is no relationship there. And it was all because, you know, what went down with the Golden Boy.
Well, I mean, shit, the guy groomed the kid into believing he was a father figure to him. You know what I mean? And was this basically, here's the predator, stuffing up the pig before he killed him. And the pig woke up and figured out, like, hey, I'm being stuffed here for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a crazy thing. I mean, there's so many fight stories, especially when it comes to the behind the scenes business of boxing. It's really, man, it is the Wild West.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this, and obviously it ties in with it actually ties in with what the news that came out this morning about Oscar getting arrested for DUI. And if you remember, I'm sure you remember that when Oscar ended up in rehab, supposedly, you know, through Richard Schaefer, Al Haymon made an offer to buy Golden Boy Promotions, right?
Right.
You remember that? You do remember that, right?
I do remember that, yes.
Okay. So now, obviously, Richard Schaefer, in one way or another, was instrumental in that offer and letting Al Haymon know, well, maybe we can buy it and run it ourselves. So my question here to you is, did Richard Schaefer know something? Did he know that Oscar De La Hoya's, you know, what's going on in his life and his problem with addiction and his substance abuse, that it could be so bad that Oscar could ruin the company to the point where it would self-destruct? I mean, you also got to see it from Richard Schaefer's point, is that he helped build the company. You know, he helped to build the company,
right.
And the last thing that he wanted was it to go into ruin. And
well,
maybe he thought that if Oscar, you know, with the substance abuse and everything that was going on at that time, could ruin it, and that's why maybe he was, you know, helping make that offer. Maybe he knew something that we didn't, and now we're seeing it to a certain extent with what's going on with Oscar and him getting arrested for the DUI.
Well, I mean, if we go back further with Oscar De La Hoya, and if you read his autobiography, but if you read other people that wrote about Oscar, there's a level of shadiness that Oscar comes with. One is like, you know, when his mother's passing, his dad, Joel, was making deals, especially with Dan Duva and them. You know, getting monies and helping them pay for the funeral. And then they made promises they were going to sign with them and never did, you know. But going back when he got signed with Top Rank, before Top Rank, he had signed with those two other gentlemen that promised him this money, et cetera, right? But then he moved on with Top Rank. You remember the rape case that Oscar De La Hoya was involved, but it was like, you know, it was shrugged under. It was very well covered up and stuff. There's a mystery behind Oscar De La Hoya. So, did Schaefer see something? Absolutely. I mean, the guy was in rehab, for crying out loud, right? And Schaefer, what I was being told when this whole ordeal was happening was that Schaefer was going down, and Oscar really didn't even understand or was not even coherent enough to know what he was signing every time Schaefer brought down some documents. So obviously Oscar was so deep into this hole of this abyss of what he was going through. I think Schaefer was like, hey, I think it'd be better minded and better controlled if we have, you know, where the guys that are controlling this company have more say of what's going to happen next in terms of stocks and whatnot, right? So, yeah, I agree with you. I think that there was something there that he saw, and he tried to take advantage. But that's just the thing, though. He tried to take advantage of it. Now, we don't know per se if maybe Schaefer mentioned – the possibility of Oscar selling the company, we don't really know that. But people close to him, and it seems to be the same story all the time, is that this was never presented to Oscar. This was something that was whispered behind his back, right? I don't know what you've heard, but those are the stories that I've been given.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're never going to know. We're not in there. We don't know everything that's going on. We're only going by third-party accounts and what we read and what we've heard through the grapevine and all that. But yeah, I mean, hopefully – I'm rooting for Oscar. I mean
me
Golden
too.
Boy,
right.
Golden Boy is Golden Boy. You know, I mean, are they the perfect promotional company? No, they're not. But neither is Top Rank. Neither was Don King. Neither is anybody, you know. But I think that – they're bringing some good fights
to the table. They're bringing in some good stuff. They got some good prospects. You know, not that it's going to go anywhere, but I think that Golden Boy is better when Oscar De La Hoya is hands-on with the company. I sincerely believe that. I think that it's a better company. It's his passion. It's his baby. It's Golden Boy Promotions. He's the Golden Boy. And I think that the times that we've seen that we can believe that he wasn't abusing any substances, you know, when he first came out of rehab and he was going around saying, you know, this is, I'm going to be hands-on and this and this and that and that. And he wasn't having the issues with his wife. We saw some good stuff come from Golden Boy, and now I think it's just better when Oscar is there and he's part of the company and he's just not on the outside looking in because he's trying to take care of the problems that he's having. I sincerely believe that, and I'm rooting for him, and hopefully he can fix all this stuff that's going for him.
I think at the same time too, look, you know, people forget that he is a human being. I know he's a figure. And we want our figures to always perform and act a certain way. But, you know, he is a human being, you know. So it is what it is. I agree with you. I'm rooting for the guy. Hopefully he can get his life back together and stuff. Hopefully this was just a bump, you know. This could strongly be a possibility where Oscar went out to dinner to go get something to eat, had a few drinks, took some pictures, jumped in the car, and it just, you know, went far east on the guy, you know. So.
Well, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it.
There are two ways it could happen.
Yeah, but listen, I got out to dinner. I've had a couple of drinks, but I know when to stop. So because I know that I'm going to drive later on, or if I had too much to drink, I make sure that I don't drive. So when you are put in a position where you're driving under the influence, that means you did not have the control to stop yourself from either. Stop drinking because you knew you were going to drive, or you weren't in all your faculties to make the decision not to drive. Okay, so that in itself is a problem, and it kind of states what's going on here. You know, because only like what was it like a month and a half ago where that other interview came out on TMZ where he was blasted with a couple of friends coming out of a nightclub. Remember
yes.
that?
Oh yeah, I mean, forgot about that.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so. So it's not something that just happened, you know. So and it's not to, you know, point our fingers at him and say, you know, bad Oscar or anything like that. But it's to hopefully he gets back on track because he was doing really, really well as far as what we were seeing and him being part of the company and everything. And hopefully he gets back on track because I think, like I mentioned 5 minutes ago, Golden Boy is better when Oscar La Hoya is part of the company.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm overlooking that because we're going to be bringing on a guest really quick, a kid that's upcoming. That's with Golden Boy. He's going to be fighting in February 3rd at Belasco, California. And just kind of reading up a little bit about the guy. He's a lightweight. He's got four bouts underneath him and three knockouts. He's a southpaw. And his birthplace is Santa Monica, California. But he resides in Pasadena. David Mijares.
Well, he's not. I don't think his birthday is his. Isn't he from Brazil?
I'm looking at it right now. It doesn't say anything about that, my man. We'll ask him when he comes on. You know, but when I call him in and everything. But hey, really quick before we do call him in, hey, let's go down. Let's tackle down the rundown, the news about you know, Deontay Wilder. And this guy, man, he just can't seem to get an opponent.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, actually
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise anymore what happened to his opponent, Andrzej Wajdrzak. I mean, obviously between you and I, I'm going to be the one that's going to pronounce the name better. So I'm giving it a shot. Andrzej Wajdrzak. So, I mean, honestly, were you surprised when it came out that he came up positive for this steroid? Were you surprised? I wasn't.
I you know what? As long as we've been covering this, you know, and we were like the very first podcasters to really start covering PEDs, and then Gable started writing about it. No, this doesn't surprise me at all, you know. And the steroid that he was using was the critical weight. Do you have it in front of you, the name of the steroid and all that, and what exactly it is? I'm going to dial this kid.
It's a stanozolol. I can't pronounce it. Stanozolo. You know,
yeah.
I went to my school district wasn't the best out here in San Diego. But let me just read about what it says about this this substance. It's called Winstrol or Stanozolol. It's an anabolic steroid used to get lean and hard. It's mainly used as an oral during cutting cycles to lose body fat. It's a variant of dehydrotestosterone, something like that. So you can expect similar fat loss benefits as you would with any other DHT derivative steroid. For most users, it's a cheaper alternative to Anavar, and of course, it's more available on the black market due to the modification at the A ring. This is a very unique steroid with very unique cutting abilities. This makes Winstrol a top three cutting steroid on the market. My question is here, if he's fighting a heavyweight, why does he need to cut weight?
I don't know.
So
that's
much,
a, that is,
so much,
yeah, that,
so much so to have to use a steroid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that is a good question. Whether or not, I don't know, was he that overweight? I mean, was he trying to cut weight to be more mobile? I'm not necessarily understanding it either. You know, I mean, were they trying to make him quicker by cut? You know, being able to cut this. I don't know. That's a really good question. I guess when we start digging a little bit more about it, we'll get some more answers. But, you know, and like, again, it does leave Deontay Wilder out there in the forest of trying to find another opponent to step in the ring, because my understanding is that there is no cancellation. They're going to move forward with it. Geraldo Washington told me last night that he had asked for that fight, and he's just waiting for the approval from the Wilder team, whether or not they're going to step up and face him. I think that might happen, because Washington doesn't have the pedigree that you would look at and say, oh, he's a very viable threat to Deontay Wilder. I think that the PBC have kind of showed that they're willing to have showcases for their top tier guys to keep them moving, so that they're going after the bigger money. That's what any good promoter would do, right, Felipe? I mean, that's what I would see. So is the Washington fight out of question? I don't see at all that it would be.
No, not at this short of a notice, I don't think it is. Although it just came out in the news that Luis Ortiz is saying that he'll take the fight on February 25th, but that's a long shot.
I don't see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening at all.
So,
yeah.
You know,
I mean
that Gerald Washington, who I believe is under the Al Heyman banner, right?
He is, right.
Yeah, I mean, there's
he's one of the two heavyweights. He's one of the two heavyweights that were picked up last year, which was Dominic Brazil and in Washington. They were both the guys. They were both picked up. And I honestly, when I looked at that, if you remember, you know, because of Charles Martin, I was like, okay, these three guys are obviously the setup opponents for Dante Wilder. So Ortiz, I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening at all. Mansoor, who has also been on Twitter saying that, hey, he would do it. I could see that happening, because Mansoor is a short-statured guy that does come to fight, could take a good hit, but is a very beatable person, because he's had problems with taller guys. He lost to Brazil. He lost to Washington. So Dante Wilder would have a good field day with him throwing the right hand. Who else is on Twitter is Baby Miller. He's saying, hey, I'll fight Dante Wilder, but I don't see that happening as well. That's just not going to – there's two guys, right? The two guys I don't see
point,
it happening.
I mean, you can't expect him to take such a challenge when his first fight back and coming back from an injury, you know. Now, Gerald Washington, to me, I've seen him fight. I don't see him going past four or five rounds against Deontay Wilder, but, I mean, there's a storyline there. The guy's undefeated. You know, he's a former USC football player. So there's a storyline there. It's sellable, quite possibly more than this this guy from Poland that came up positive for the steroids. So, you know, if that's the way they're going to go, you know, obviously they're going to get criticized for it. But, you know, we all know that that wasn't the original opponent. Obviously, Luis Ortiz and Baby Miller can say whatever they want, but it comes down to what the promoters want to do. Not sure if Eddie Hearn has enough time to put a deal together with Al Heyman to have Luis Ortiz fight on February 25th in the United States. Plus, does Deontay Wilder want to take on Luis Ortiz in Georgia? You know,
on his first fight back, I don't see that happening.
No. I mean, it's a stupid business move. I mean, look, here's the thing, though. What I would have to say about Washington, I think what you said is right. I mean, his balance isn't that great. He has a lot to learn. There's a lot of room for this guy to improve. But you know, father time is catching up because of age. He came in at a later age into the sport. But at the same time, Wilder, to me, has a lot of errors himself that he's been improving. So is it a good match in terms of two big guys getting in? Two guys that are improving. Who's got more of the natural talent is Wilder. That's why I say I think it's a better move for PBC and Wilder to do that with Washington than it is with anybody else. You know, in terms of like Ortiz, whose pedigree is Olympian and also is a hard hitter, but also would probably have a lot of problems with Wilder because of his tall stature.
Well, you're talking about Mansoor?
I'm talking about Ortiz.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I mean, that guy's a top 10 heavyweight. You would,
right.
Ortiz is a top 10 heavyweight. So, I mean, I'm sure that, and he has somewhat of a extensive amateur pedigree. So I'm sure that's not the first time he faces a guy the size of Deontay Wilder inside a ring.
Yes, can you hear me?
But we'll see what is next there for Deontay Wilder. Hopefully they have an opponent for him soon, being that the fight is set for February 25th. So that is coming up fairly quickly in the next 4 weeks. So hopefully I'm sure that they're trying to get somebody as soon as possible, and hopefully by the end of this week.
Yeah.
Do we have
we should. No, we don't. I called him twice, and for some reason, I guess he doesn't hear. He can't hear us or something.
Mm.
You know. So. No, unfortunately. Let me try one more time here. So just keep rolling, brother.
Okay. So another story that came out this week was the fact that Showtime has won the right to broadcast the Jorge Linares against Anthony Crawler rematch on March 25th. Obviously, it's going to be broadcast live during the day, just like last time, I would guess between 2 or 3 p.m. Well, it wasn't broadcast. I don't think it was broadcast on Showtime last time. I don't remember. But anyways, it would be broadcast then and obviously repeated at later on that night, which actually, like David was saying last week, March is starting to build up like as a really good month for boxing. We got March 4th with Keith Thurman against Danny Garcia fight. We got March 11th with David Lemieux against Curtis Stevens. We got March 18th with Gennady Golovkin and Daniel Jacobs. And also this week it was announced that Carlos Cuadras, the former WBC super flyweight champion, was added to the pay-per-view.
Oh, I know.
Against
right?
a Mexico City fighter by the name of David Carmona. Pretty good record. It's coming off a loss to the Japanese Naoya Inoue. So, you know, that's another fight along with Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez against the Thai fighter, his mandatory challenger. And actually, Tom Loeffler, I believe, came out and said that, you know, with them fighting on the same card, you know, it's still quite possible for seeing that rematch between Chocolatito Gonzalez and Carlos Cuadras later on this year. Obviously, they both win their fights. And then March 25th, Showtime will be broadcasting the rematch between I believe he's the WBA lightweight champion, Jorge Linares, and former champion, Anthony Crawler.
Let me bring on our guest here. We got lightweight David Mijares, who's going to be fighting February 3rd at Briasco, LA, downtown. David, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Good, man. So you got a record of 4 wins, 3 by KO. So obviously our listeners are going to go, okay, who's this kid? We need to know a little bit more about him. So let's break it down, because my co-host, Felipe Leon here, thought you were from Brazil, but you're not, right? It says that you were born in, Pasadena or something?
Yeah, Pasadena, California, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, see, Felipe, I told you.
I think I got him confused with somebody else.
Oh, it's fine.
Yo, it's okay. It happens to me all the time, man. It happens to me all the time. So let me ask you, so what are you Mexican-American? Give us a little bit about your background here, bro.
So I'm black and white. My black side has a little bit of Filipino mixed in with it. That's why I have the Mijares last name. But that name was taken on when the Spaniards colonized the Philippines back in the day. So I think my grandfather just took the name of his village, which I believe was Mijares, and he brought it over. I think that's how that worked.
And you speak fluent Spanish, though, right?
Yes, yes, I do. And that's because I went to school for 12 years, and I was in a bilingual program at school.
What made you do that? What made you pick that up? I mean,
My parents thought it was, you know, they decided that they wanted to challenge me, and so that provided the perfect challenge. You know, I've always stayed challenged with what I do, like boxing, you know, always taking it up a notch. And the same thing goes with, you know, academics and everything outside of boxing, and they just wanted to challenge me.
So let me ask you this, because the combination of your ethnic is obviously, you know, when you say the Mijares and all, and then the Filipino and all that, who do you try to identify with when it comes to the fight fans, you know, or do you just kind of just roll with it, or who do you connect with mostly?
I think I'm able to connect with everyone because I really am just a product of my environment and how, you know, the working class man, working class woman, they can identify with me because they work so hard and I work so hard. And at the end of the day, I think they just want to see a good fight. They don't want to, you know, root for someone that, they do. They choose, like, you know, race and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I just want to make it more about the sport and just.
Right.
I want to make sure that people, you know, they're looking at the athlete in there instead of, you know, choosing sides.
What made you decide to go southpaw, man? Was this like an influence because you saw it, like, you know, because most fighters, they'll tend to go what their idol is doing. We're seeing more kids because of Manny Pacquiao. We're seeing, you know, kids from England because of Prince Ahmed. What made you decide to stay in that stance?
It was just a decision I made when I was young that I just ended up feeling more comfortable with my stronger hand in front of me. And from then, we've just been working on hand strength in both hands, so I want to, you know, keep everything even. But, yeah, it was just a decision as a kid.
Who are some of the trainers that you've worked with, you know? Because, you know, the thing I'm asking about the stance is because a lot of times when you see kids going to gyms, old-school trainers are always trying to change that. They want them to go orthodox because, you know, because it's just more easier to work with and practice with and stuff, you know? So let me ask you, who are some of the guys that you've worked with to help you develop to work on your craft?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just been my father's just been training me ever since I was interested in the sport. And so he, at first, he was like, oh, it's kind of difficult, you know, because he was catching mitts with different people. But then
right.
At the end of the day, especially now, he's very comfortable with southpaw. And sometimes I catch him in a southpaw stance. And I was just like, hey, whoa, you're a southpaw now.
Hey, David, this is Felipe. Quick question. How did you get started in boxing? How old were you? Did your dad box? Did your uncles box? How did it all start? How did you end up in a boxing gym?
So I ended up in a boxing gym because my father was he was in love with the sport, and he decided to become a personal trainer. And from there, I was just always around the gym. I was always around the sport. I didn't pick it up seriously until I was 12 years old. And then from there, we just decided to take it up a notch, go into the amateurs, take it up another notch, try to get,
you said,
you know,
wait.
The Olympics.
You said seriously until the age of 12? That's pretty extraordinary,
yeah.
Man, because kids that normally at 12, you know, they take you know, Nintendo seriously. But you decided to do it with boxing, man. That's good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, there's so much more that was behind that because, you know, my parents wanted me to focus on school and whatnot. So, of course, school comes first. So I wasn't able to take it completely seriously because, you know, a lot of the kids by 12 now, they got
right.
like close to 100 fights. And but I you know, I was just slowly working my way up there until I graduated high school. Then I was able to focus on boxing a little bit more, and I got most of my fights in after high school, after I graduated. And then from there, it's just step by step and lucky chance to perform in front of, you know, management company, and then they decided to hook me up with Golden Boy, and everything just started rolling from there.
Is this your first fight with Golden Boy, or did you start your whole career off with them?
Yeah, no, I started my whole career off with them, thankfully, because my management at Shear Sports really did, you know, they did their job by, you know, really recommending me and showing them all of my fights and all of my tapes that we got from national tournaments.
Now, you know, you do mention Shear Sports, which is a lot of people, they're not too recognizable. A lot of people don't really know who they are. They kind of keep themselves in the background, which, you know, a lot of people think that a manager should, but they do have a pretty good young stable of fighters that are going. They have Jason Quigley, you know, who we all know,
right?
He's with Golden Boy, and he was an Olympian for Ireland. And then they got Ronald Ellis. David, you're gone.
I know, man. I'm sorry. There's somebody outside going nuts.
Feed him for once. And then we got Ronald Ellis, who looked pretty impressive this last weekend on Showbox. And then obviously you and a couple other fighters. So how important is being part of this group? And what's the dynamic within the whole group with you and Jason and you and Ronald Ellis? I know Ronald was over here in California some time ago. I'm thinking he went back home to Massachusetts. But as far as whole dynamic, and also with a lot of people that don't know, part of that group is also a former heavyweight contender from South Africa, Courage Tashabala. So what's that whole dynamic there?
So the whole dynamic, everyone just puts in their work. They work where they feel most comfortable. So Jason is, of course, at The Rock. Ronald Ellis did his last training camp at Iron. But and for myself, I was also in camp at the same time. But we had different times during the day that we would train. So nothing, you know, there were no issues with, like, camps overlapping or anything. Everyone's just super cool about, you know, being a help to everyone. And it's just a very positive environment, and I'm very fortunate to have them to look up to see, you know, what they do in the sport. At the same time, you want to see them guide you to help.
Okay, and my last question, David, you have a fight on February 3rd at the Belasco Theater, and you have a little bit of a challenge in front of you. You're fighting Tomas Herrera, the Animal, a fighter that I've seen fight previously a couple of times, and the guy has never been knocked out. You got 4 wins, 0 losses, 3 knockouts. You know, how important is it for you? And I know you're going to probably tell me I'm not going to look for the knockout or anything like that, but I'm sure it crossed your mind. How important is it to you to be the first guy to knock this guy out?
Oh, man. Unfortunately, the opponent had changed because I don't think Herrera was ready for the fight.
Oh.
So, unfortunately, I think the opponent changed. But as going into 6 rounds, I think I'm up against a pretty tall fighter as well for this new opponent, and I know he's going to be a challenge. I know that I just have to listen to my corner and just apply all the work that I've been putting in the gym right then and there. And you know, the knockout, everyone wants to see a knockout, and if it comes, it comes. But you know, that always lingers in my mind, like, give these people a show, but at the same time, they want to see a little bit of boxing. So I think
we're losing him a little bit,
yeah.
Or 5 in the openings.
Okay, David Miadis is going to be fighting February 3rd at the Belasco downtown LA. Man, we're going to wish you all the luck. We'll keep an eye out on you. Before I let you go, is there anything that you want fight fans that know about you that they don't know yet?
And also, if you can share your share your social media so people can follow you and keep up with your career.
Right.
You can follow me on Instagram at David Mijares, on Twitter at Junebug Mijares. Junebug is Southern slang for junior, and that's also my ring name. As well as you'll see some awesome photos of food because I am a food enthusiast. I love food as all fighters.
Right on.
Yes, of course. And don't miss the fight February 3rd at the Belasco Theater. It's going to be a good one. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. And you take care. You have a good night, okay?
You too. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, as you see, we're going back to our old roots here, which is interviewing.
Too bad he's not fighting Tomas Herrera, and hopefully they make that fight in the future because that guy, I mean, he has obviously not that great a record. He has 8 wins, 16 losses.
Rants, yeah.
I think 15 losses, I believe. But he's never been knocked out, and I've seen him in some good, good fights. I've seen him 2 or 3 times, and the guy brings it every time. He makes he's a tough out for anybody. And I really thought that this was going to be a good step for Mijares, being that he's only 4-0 with 3 knockouts. But it's a good challenge at the right time for him. So hopefully they make it sometime soon. Hopefully for the next fight, maybe they can get Thomas to get ready for the fight and put on and see what Mijares can do against a tough opponent like Tomas Herrera.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing with boxing here is that sometimes the record can be deceiving. The kid has 8 wins, 16 losses, 1 draw. But that's not the fight that's going to be happening. So,
and the thing, and what I mentioned about Sheer Sports, I mean, if a lot of people listening have not heard from them or don't know who they are, I mean, it's a managerial company. You know, they got some fighters. They got some really good prospects, like I mentioned. They got Jason Quigley. They got David Mijares. They got Ronald Ellis. And they're bringing up a couple other guys. I think they have a Brazilian guy, too, and that's why I'm getting confused. Actually, I think they just brought up another Irish kid who's gearing up to go pro. So I think Sheer Sports is starting to make some waves there. And it's a good team over there with Courage and Rachel and everybody else out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to what Golden Boy is going to be bringing. I mean, the Belasco thing is obviously not going to be on the ESPN, because that's not happening until March and stuff. But, you know, when they get these kind of young fighters that they're trying to develop, this is the root, right? This is the root of what makes the sport, you know? So I want to watch him. Definitely want to see what he brings to the table. At 5'7" as a lightweight, it's pretty tall. So right now he's showing the decent power, but normally as a startup for any kid, especially when you sign on to a promotional company, you're going to have a couple of padding fights, you know, and that's to build the confidence here. So we're definitely going to find out in the future, maybe by next year, whether he does really carry the power that it's being said, which is on record in front of us.
Yeah. You know, so let's see what he does on February 3rd. We're going to be able to catch that either on Estrella TV or on RigTV.com. So hopefully we see a good outing from David Mijares.
Now, again, on our Twitter, if you go to my pin, go to the front page of Twitter here on Leaving the Ring, you'll see that the Patreon link is there. You can click it. I'll retweet it again. You know, like I said, we're asking for, you know, $1 to $5. Man, if you do $100, you'll be a guest. I mean, you'll be a co-host here on Leaving the Ring with myself, Dave Duenison, Felipe Leon, talk boxing. You stay on with the with the 2 hours that we occupy here on the show here, and you'll be able to shine in all the topics that we talk about, and even bring up some topics here. Like I said, we got some other shows that we do want to develop. So if we can get some donations and get some help here, we could develop these shows and start putting them on the platform. As right now, like you said, we got some good shows. We got the 2-minute round. You got the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. 2-minute round with David Avila and Baby Doll Reed, Felipe Leon. And you got the Leave It in the Ring with myself and Felipe Leon again. And then you got the Undiscovered Country with Gabriel Montoya, which is a new series that we decided to put on the Leaving the Ring platform here. But we got other things. Around the Ring, which we want to definitely bring back, but totally different format of how it was originally done. It's not going to be live. It is going to be a podcast, pre-recorded. But I think the idea of what, how we want to do it, I think a lot of fight fans will like it. It's going to be a different perspective of how we're going to tackle topics and how we're going to, you know, kind of target certain issues in the sport that everybody gets a mouthpiece about what's happening. So please, you know, give us a hand, give us a, you know, a little bit of help here with this, that, you know, so that we can continue doing what you guys like. You know, we get a lot of listeners and, you know, and also because of the fact too, we want to develop these t-shirts as well. And, if you Patreon, that's what they're calling it, right? They Patreon, we'll definitely be giving away some t-shirts as well for free because of the contribute that you guys are giving to us and stuff. You know, the support that you've always been giving. I think we're going to 10 years here, Felipe, on Leaving the Ring, being on air. And the support that we've always been given and shown has always been great and tremendous and stuff. You know, we just want to take it up a notch and take it up the level, like I said, to try to help out the on-air talent here as well, show that appreciation. So by doing this Patreon thing, I think it's a big boost. You know, it's a big incentive for guys to want to work with us as well as you know, being on, because nothing's for free, right?
That's right. So I think all we got left is to give the douchebag of the week, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the biggest douchebag of the week here. So I don't know. I mean, there's not really a whole lot. I mean, who would be the biggest douchebag in your opinion? I think the one that's more obvious is the Andreas.
That's who I was thinking as well, yeah. This Andrade Wurzburg, just for coming up positive again.
Andrade Wurzburg.
And just coming up positive again. And just, I mean, not that it was a much anticipated fight between him and Deontay Wilder, but just because we just can't get away from this. You know, we can't get away from the anabolic steroids. We can't get away from all the illegal stuff going on. And, you know, right when you think there's a little reprieve, here's another guy coming up positive. So I agree with you. He's a douchebag of the week.
His biggest douchebag of the week right now. I mean, like you said, it wasn't anticipated. It wasn't like we were like salivating and saying, wow, I can't wait for this fight to happen. So it gave us this, it was a Debbie Downer of all the matches that are been, you know, that are been produced and are going to be produced in the upcoming months here. But I think it's a big douchebag move in terms of Dante Wilder, who did his part by training and being prepared for this upcoming match, which is, you know, was supposed to happen in February, right? On the 25th, that match.
Yeah, February 25th. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to find somebody. Hopefully somebody that's going to go some rounds with him and he can get back on track and go after bigger names in the heavyweight division, which obviously we're keeping up with boxing. It's turning into something worth watching. I mean, we got Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko selling over 80,000 tickets out there in London, England for their matchup in April. And then we also have, you know, the new WBO champion, Joseph Parker. So we're going to wait to see who he fights. And then we got Luis Ortiz, who, you know, signed on with Matchroom Boxing. So he should be getting some action. Then you got Tyson Fury's cousin, Huey Fury, who also started to make some noise out there in England. So there's a lot of heavyweight boxers. I believe they have not come to an agreement for between Fredo Kendall and Shannon Briggs for that WBA regular title. So, but there's some big heavyweight fights coming along. So hopefully Deontay Wilder gets back into the mix, you know, heals up from that hand, gets a good opponent for February 25th, and then can look forward to challenging one of these current champions to see what, if there could be an undisputed champion by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. By the end of the year. And like I said, mentioning the opponents that could be for Dante Wilder. Again, I say that if it is Gerald Washington, I'm not too mad about it. I like to see that. I mean, you know, because of the short notice here. So that's why the biggest douchebag goes to the Andres. Hey, really quick here on Twitter, Vada Testing Organization tweeted out about 33 minutes ago that they welcome Danny Jacobs Danny Jacobs to the VADA testing as he prepares to face Triple G March 18, 2017. I don't know if you know this, but Danny Jacobs is in the Bay Area. So that being said, congratulations for stepping up and going into the program here.
Well, I think it's one of the prerequisites to be able to challenge for that WBC title that Gennady Golovkin holds, because as we all know, the WBC has that clean boxing program where the top 15 ranked fighters, including the champion, have to be tested by VADA as part of their program. If you're not willing to join the program, then you get off the rankings. And obviously, if he's going to be challenging for that WBC title, which it's more than likely, and I'm sure he is on March 18th, then he has to be part of the program to be able to challenge.
Right. Right.
And I'm, you know, to be able to challenge for. So, I mean, it's a good thing. Always, it's a good thing when we can get these fighters on VADA.
If I am correct, the Wilder fight with Warrick was under. It had to be under the WBC, right? That was under.
Yeah.
That was he got tested positive because of the WBC rule here. So there are good things coming out of this. And let me give you a quick update that, you know, because we spoke about Angel Garcia last week and we said, hey, you know, about WBC, where are they going to follow through? I did reach out to the representative of the WBC and have not heard back to them, but I did ask some certain questions. It was in hopes that we were going to get Suleiman on the show here to talk to him. But obviously they've been busy. Obviously this is a big hit for them. So they're kind of busy with Warrick and the testing positive of that antibiotic steroid, Stanozolol. And so we're hoping we're going to get
Of all the words you're going to pronounce correctly, that's the word you're going to pronounce correctly?
What? Did I pronounce that right? Stanozolol?
Yeah, it sounded better than how I pronounced it. So.
Oh, man. Whatever. Anyways, fight fans, you guys have a great night. Don't forget to try, please, a Patreon on our Patreon page here on Leave the Ring. We'll give you guys a shout out for sure. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what other shows we can create here on the Leave the Ring Network. Don't forget, every Monday night, you got the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya. And then on Wednesdays, you got Leave the Ring. Every other week, you got the 2-minute round. And every Friday, you're going to have the Undiscovered Country with Gabriel Montoya. And like I said, hopefully in a few months from now, we're going to have these other developed shows that it's all about boxing that's going to be gracing the platform of the Leave the Ring. Do not drink or drive because you will spill your beer. Felipe Leon, I will talk to you next week here on Leaving the Ring, brother.
All righty. Buenas noches.